Welcome to Without Borders with Collins and West, the podcast where we talk about all things mission. And I'm Wes Magruder. I am here reporting from Pieter Maritzburg in South Africa.
And I'm Collins H. E. Ako, recording from a street here in Goma in the East Congo Episcopal area of the United Methodist Church in the Democratic Republic of Congo.
That's not where you're normally appointed. What are you doing in Goma?
Was. Goma is part of the East Congo Episcopal area, and I'm assigned to the East Congo Episcopal area. Just that I don't hang around there too often.
you're normally in Kinshasa, so you're kind of out and about today, this week.
Yes. I actually stay in Kinshasa with Greta and the kids, but I serve the East Congo Episcopal area. So it's always a great joy to be in this part of the country.
So they're having their annual conference. Is that what I understand?
Yes. This is actually my second annual conference meeting in this last week. So we just finished the East Congo annual conference, and now we are in the middle of the Kivu annual conference meeting. And this is actually my launch time for this podcast.
You're giving up your lunch time. I know you want everybody to feel sorry for you.
I mean, where's that sacrifice? Sacrifice. That's what mission service is all about. Sacrificial service.
Okay. All right. Nothing's stopping you from eating while we do the podcast.
I don't want to make you all feel hungry, so just...
Well, the good news today is we have, for the first time, we have a special guest on our podcast joining us for all the way from Paris, Texas. We have our good friend, the Reverend Rob Spencer. So, Rob, hello. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Wes and Collins. It's good to be with you both.
First of all, so both of us, both Collins and I know Rob. Both of us know Rob and are friends with him. I have known Rob a little bit longer. We've been colleagues in the North Texas Conference for years, and we've also been, just to reveal some secrets here, we've been part of a secret clergy covenant group, Rob and I have, that would meet from time to time whenever we could find it convenient, and depending on where we were appointed, it was easier than other times, but we get together and we just stayed in touch and prayed for each other. And I'm not able to be in the group now, obviously, but I miss Rob and the other guys terribly. And so I count Rob a good dear friend and someone I can go to in a time of crisis if I ever am in one. And I hope he feels the same way. Collins?
I sure do.
Yeah. Collins, how do you know?
I mean, I just wanted to add that you've known him longer, and I've known him better, as we've got to travel around for a mission trip, parts of the Democratic Republic of Congo, interesting conversations, and we are in the midst of some interesting work as we seek to build relationships within the church here and parts of the church in the U.S. So I actually met, I think you, I met Rob in, that was in Texas, I think last year or so. And I remember you reaching out to me, Wes, and saying a friend of yours would love to meet with me. And Rob showed up at the house where I was staying, and he said, we need to talk. And we had an interesting conversation. And at the end of that conversation, we all agreed that mission is at the heart of who we are as a church. And we made that engagement to promote missions, even in the midst of the difficult conversations that the United Methodist Church is having at this time.
Yeah.
It's been, I tell you what, though, I love you both, and I appreciate you both so much. Wes and I have been friends for a long, long time. And I became friends about a year ago. And since that time, we've been able to hang out two or three different times, and it's been a real blessing, and especially the time I got to spend with Tim being our guide over in the DRC. That was fantastic and truly amazing. So I'm very thankful for that. So, Wes, thank you for pointing me towards Collins.
During our time in the DRC, Rob shared some very interesting stories about just growing up as a missionary kid. And I mean, I just wanted us to come a little bit to that, and just so our audience can get to know the Rob Spencer even better.
Thank you, Collins. Yes. So my mother and dad worked for the what was called the General Board of Global Missions at that time, which now is GBG, General Board of Global Ministries. When I was three and my brother was one, we got on a ship and sailed to, I think we left from Houston, and we sailed to Recife, or to Rio in Brazil. And we were there in the Rio area for about 5 years. My mother and dad both were missionaries, and a big part of what they did was to help build churches, help folks there work together to build churches. We came back home to the States for a year. And during that time, I was 8. That was really the first time I began to understand how the United Methodist Church was connected. Because when we came home to the States, one of the things we did was we traveled all across the United States visiting churches that had partnered with us in our work in Brazil. So throughout the week, I mean, we traveled like 3 months one summer, and I don't know how many different churches we were in, but I just remember my dad had a little slideshow, and we'd go in and we'd show the work, and people would get excited, and then it built momentum, and we continued to build relationships, and it really helped the mission work that we did together. We went back when I was 9 to Recife, and my dad built a couple of churches there during the 3 years we were there. It was also during that time that one of my most memorable experiences as a child, as a missionary kid, was that I had built a fort in my backyard, and I had my slingshots, and we didn't use rocks, but there was some kind of little fruit that was almost as hard as a rock, and we used that in our slingshots. My neighbor, he built himself a fort. And I recall that I would raise the American flag and he would raise the Brazilian flag, and then we would have war in the backyard. And my mom came out one day when the flags were raised, and that did not sit too well with her. And she made it very clear to me that as Methodist missionaries, it was not our role to be over here declaring war against the Brazilians. I said that fairly calmly. Her voice was not quite so calm. It was clear to me, don't raise your flags anymore. No more war with the Brazilians. So, yeah, it's been a long time ago. And the church that they built there had a 50-year anniversary a couple of years back. And I got a call from a Facebook message from their pastor inviting me to come back if I could for the 50-year anniversary.
Wow.
It was really, really touching. And then at the end of the message, he said, you may remember me. I was your neighbor. I used to use my flag and you used to raise yours.
Wow.
In Recife, especially, I love the equator. That tropical climate really touches my heart.
Yeah.
Rob, I mean, I do remember you saying something also about how that experience informed your understanding of what missions is supposed to be, and also kind of like informs the way you approach the conversation about separation even within the United Methodist Church today. So would you mind to come a little, say something about just what you shared?
Sure. So mission for me is primarily about helping to connect others to Jesus and then finding ways to where we can work together to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth so that all people will know that they're loved and that they're cared for. The purpose of our trip that we took with you, Collins, to the DRC and that previously we had taken also to the Philippines was really at least two, maybe threefold. But the first was to visit some of the and to see some of the mission work that we've been doing together over the decades. We also wanted to meet new friends and learn about new projects and talk about how we can continue to be the church in mission together as we move into the future. Though when I look back, I know we've been connected in mission, but we've not stayed connected, I don't think, very well with each other personally, relationally. So we may know about projects, but we don't really know people. So part of what we wanted to do was to work more intentionally on those relationships that are so important in the work that we do.
So another thing I would love for you to share with us is growing up as a kid, you must have watched your parents engage in missions. And I mean, that's what I did. I watched Wes, old, gray-headed Wes, do mission work. And I mean, I said this a few days ago. It kind of like inspired. It gave me that passion to want to be in mission. And just watching Wes and other missionaries serve around where I grew up gave me that desire, that zeal, just wanting to serve. And can you share something? Can you share something from your childhood experience that you think has given you that passion that you have for mission that we see today?
Well, I did watch my parents a lot and the work that they did there. The thing that stuck out to me the most was my dad had a gift in being able to go into places and helping churches be able to build new places to worship and to gather together. And I can begin to see how those types of places made such a huge difference in the lives of the people there. That for me, that was one thing that, though for a long time, I didn't have much to do with the church. When I finally did decide to come back to the church in my early 30s, I realized that some of the things that my dad was passionate and I was passionate about as well. One of the concerns that I had when I left the specially called General Conference in St. Louis was a real concern that if our church fractured into a lot of different pieces, just how the global church would be hurt by that fracturing. And so though there were a lot of things I was concerned about coming out of St. Louis, that was one that really rose at least to the front for me based upon growing up with my parents being missionaries. In the importance of the work of the global church.
I'm interested in sort of asking Rob, because I don't know the answer to this. I'm just curious, did you ever consider seriously becoming a missionary yourself, Rob?
So I don't know that I would say seriously, but I know that it is always in my head. Part of what I'm trying to determine right now at this stage in life is where can my gifts be used the most. I think that the passion that I feel right now is to help connect as many different leaders across the United Methodist Church in the States with leaders in central conferences, so that those relationships can be developed and we can all become serious about remaining a global church. So I kind of doubt, well, maybe I'm a missionary in a different sense. But it is extremely important to me. It is a piece of this puzzle that I'm not sure. We need more people to be aware of the importance of the global church and to take steps to build those relationships. Plus, once you start building those and you realize the great work that's taken place over the decades, I mean, it has transformed and changed and saved lives that most of us here in the States don't even know about. And that's on us here. We need to do a better job of telling that story and building those relationships.
Okay, Rob, I have kids who are here with me. My kids are here with me in the, at my placement site. And at times I get nervous if I'm really communicating what it means to be a missionary, a missionary family to them, and just struggling to understand their struggles as we settle into a placement site in a different country. And from your experience as a missionary kid, if you had 10 minutes to spend with my kids, what would you tell them so they get the best out of the experience of being missionary kids and just living in a different land? What will you tell them? And the second one is, what will you tell a mission struggling to understand what their kids are going through as they learn to live in this new environment?
Those are two good questions. I think the first one for me, in talking with kids, is when I look back on my childhood as a missionary kid, all I knew as a kid was Brazil, because I went there when I was so young. So I think for children that are young, that's all they know. Had I been 12 in the States and then went somewhere else, it would have been a whole different ballgame. I think I would talk to the kids differently, although I can only talk from my own experience, you know, of not knowing anywhere else. But I can tell you that 10 years that we spent in Brazil were the most meaningful years of my life. Ask them to do the best they can, if it's a struggle for them, to try to make themselves open to how God might work in their lives at this time, so that in this new place, they could experience what God has to offer them. But it's going to be much more of a challenge for older children, I think, than for those of like myself, who we just didn't know. I mean, Brazil was all I knew, really, till I was about 12. Now, for parents, the one thing I would say to you is, be careful about forcing your children to do too much church stuff. And when your children wander away, don't assume they'll never, ever come back, because they wandered for a long time. It was a long time before I turned around and came back. But the reason I came back was because of all of those memories, many that took place in the mission field.
So, Rob, I like the way you define mission for us, which is, you know, sharing the love of Jesus with people. And you also talked about the good that missions, especially Methodist missions, have done. But I think we cannot ignore the fact that not all missions has been good historically. And there's always this tension. I certainly feel it, and I get it from the people I work among, of the negative history of missions and, you know, the fact that a lot of missionaries colonized folks. So, you know, how do you reconcile that mixed legacy of mission work? And how do you deal with that when, you know, with your interest in continuing to make these connections of people around the world? How do you keep yourself from seeing yourself as a colonizer?
Yeah, that's a great question, Wes. you're correct. We've done some things that have not been good along the way. We can't change those, but we can, as best we can, try to find a new and better way forward. And so that's why I get real excited when I get to hang out with missionaries like Collins. I mean, I just love that.
No, I think it's something Collins and I talk about all the time. It's something that's, you know, sort of always on our mind, you know, to avoid that. But it's also what I think, you are correct, that the General Board has definitely changed its approach. And I think that's exemplified by the, you know, their new mission statement, which is from everywhere to everywhere, which I think encompasses this idea that, you know, we all are in need of mission, both to go and to receive mission. So I love that idea. And that's what I love about what I've seen you do over the last couple of years. And that is, I've seen you engage in these trips to other places, not so much, well, for really no other reason. And I'll let you say this, but it seems to me like it's mostly about conversation and about getting to know people. So I would love for you to talk about, you know, some of the trips you've taken, one to Africa, you've been to the Philippines. Tell us what the genesis of those trips were and what you hope to accomplish.
I mean, the genesis, I mean, it all started when we were leaving St. Louis and the concern for the global church. Stan Copeland and I were flying back to Dallas and we began to have some conversations. And so I called on my dear friend, Rachel Bachman, to see if she might be interested in helping us. And she was on board before I even finished the question. And we began to build some relationships with some Central Conference bishops. We were fortunate in that almost all of them came to Junaluska in the States last fall. And so we had 10 individual meetings with bishops at that time. And from those meetings, we received some invitations to come visit their episcopal areas. So our first trip was to the Philippines, and we spent about 10 days over there. Jessica Vittorio, Rachel Bachman, and myself went over there and just made a whole bunch of new friends, got to see some great work. And then when we came back, we were working on a trip to Africa, and that's Collins and I in conversations during the fall on a trip to the DRC. I met George Howard, and he was very interested in becoming a part of our team. So George and Rachel, and then Owen Ross, who's a part of the North Texas Conference here and a good friend of ours as well, he joined us. And the trip that Rachel and I initially took to the Philippines, there was one trip we went on that was about 5 hours north of Manila. And Christine Artero, one of the district superintendents there in Bishop Francisco's Episcopal area, and our good friend Karen Prudente, they took us to one of the to three tribal churches. We hiked 6 miles up into the mountains and visited these three churches that are pastored by a man that has been their pastor for 34 years. It was amazing to you know, hike way back in there, visit people. And then we found out on the way out that we were the first Americans to ever visit those three churches.
Whoa.
So that was a memorable time. Everyone was so gracious and hospitable. And then when we came back, and just a few weeks after that, we went back because we also took a trip to the Philippines in February. And then in March, we went to the DRC. Collins and George put together a great trip for us. We got to fly around with Gaston on Wings of the Morning, flew to Kamina and Kindu and spent time in Kinshasa and met many wonderful folks. Got to travel to a lot of the little rural villages and to see the work that's taking place there. And I never will forget George Howard drawing out the model for ministry there. He drew it out in the sand and he took his foot and he made a cross. It's in the top corner, we put a parsonage. And in this other corner, we put a church. And then down here in this corner, we put a clinic. And then over here in this other one, we put a well. And we visited village after village that had that model. And it was inspiring. And the friendships that we've made, we continue to stay in touch with folks. And it's been really, really good. So I think I got to rambling a little bit there, Wes. I may not have answered your question, but those two trips were really powerful. And after we've come back, we have several of our friends that are really interested in continuing to develop relationships with our Central Conference sisters and brothers.
So was there a, what was the hope? What's the hope then related to General Conference and the future of the United Methodist Church there? I mean, what do you hope is the outcome?
The outcome that I hope for is that our Central Conference friends be able to have accurate information to make good decisions on. And it's my belief that, and this comes directly from them, that 95% of the information you get comes from one source. I would like them to know that that information only represents a small portion of the church in the U.S. And so we want to talk about what we believe is important, which is the regionalization of the Methodist Church. And we're excited about the Christmas Covenant. We're in the Philippines when it came before the Cavite Annual Conference and was approved legislation to go to General Conference. The Christmas Covenant, we think, would put us as a global church in a great place to do mission together, even in the midst of the diversity that we have. Because contextually, things are just different. The Christmas Covenant values structural equity and self-determination. Those are things we think are important. It's rooted in the principles of Ubuntu in Africa and Bayanihan in the Philippines. And so we're excited about that. We're excited that it's coming with Central Conference. The Central Conference leadership has put that legislation together. And we're fully behind that. We just want to make sure that people have a chance to hear that. Mm-hmm. So that's part of what we hope to do in conversations as we build relationships and just visit great mission work that has gone on, as I've said, for decades. And we want to make sure that continues on into the future.
So, I mean, I just wanted to say that it was really a blessing to host Rob and George and all the other members of the InMission team. And they all had some interesting conversations with different groups in the different episcopal areas we were able to visit in the DRC. And something I'm really impressed about is just how much effort is being put into all of that for conversations to continue. Just like Rob said, that it's also, I mean, missions is about projects, but it's also about the people. It's about building relationships and building friendships. And I think Thomas Kemper said that in one of his conversations with missionaries. He said, mission work is friendship, is building friendships, being friends with the people where you are called to serve. And I think that's something that the InMission group is really struggling to do. And they are reaching out there and just building those relationships and getting to know people better as they have conversations around projects and just what they could do together, but also things that they could pray about together. Because, you know, at times we get so confused about missions just being projects, but missions is also praying together. It's also worshiping together. And today with technology, it's becoming more and more easier for people to worship together, even when they're in different geographical locations. And that's just something that I'm really amazed about. And I just wanted to invite Rob to come a bit, share a bit about what's the future? How does he see the future when it comes to these relationships and conversations? What are your hopes for the future?
So my hopes for the future, as you said, putting the friendships is so important. And one of the things that will strengthen our mission work into the future is to make sure that we keep those friendships, those relationships healthy. And with technology that we have today, even though I know at times in certain central conference areas, it's hard to have Zoom calls or to be connected at all, we are at least in this day in a better place than we were 20 years ago. And so we need to use this technology as best we can, especially during this COVID time when we're not going to be traveling internationally for some time, to continue to build those relationships. And I'm really, really excited about that part. And I think that will be the key to us being able to move into the future in a healthy, strong way as we navigate some new water. I'm not sure anybody really knows exactly where we're going to end up, but I'm very, very hopeful that wherever that is, the global church is still intact. Our friendships are stronger than they've ever been, which then will mean our mission work will continue, maybe even better than it was before.
You know, I want to throw in something here because it's always been the struggle. I remember the struggle when I was in Cameroon to help our partners back in the States to understand that this wasn't a one-sided relationship. And I think that's been one of the problems with the old model of mission work. It's been viewed as a sender receiver relationship. We're going to help you guys over there, and because you don't need we don't need anything from you, but we're going to give to you. And my struggle has always been to help the senders understand that, oh yeah, you do need something. You need what they have. This is a mutual relationship and it's not all about money. And I'm so grateful. I mean, I really do agree with you that the technology piece of this is what potentially helps reverse and change that tendency to think of it mission as a one-sided phenomenon. It is about from everywhere to everywhere. The American church has a heck of a lot to learn from the global church, as you know, Rob.
Right. That's right.
And it doesn't want to listen, but in this day and time, it's rapidly getting to a point where you better listen for the future of the church itself. And so I'm excited about what technology makes possible. I mean, just the fact that we're having this little podcast here, and we're on two different continents and three different countries, and then people potentially all over the world can listen, you know, means that there is an opening up to the riches of the global church. Anyway, that's my two cents there.
Yeah, let me just tag on to that, Wes, because in the U.S. we do need to learn to listen, and we have not done a good job of that at all. But I'm convinced that one of the main reasons that in any relationship you're in, You will listen better if you're friends. So yeah. Instead of just trying to get people to listen by shouting louder or whatever, we need to build our friendships so that we can truly hear each other. And that will position us in a much better place than where we've been. And technology, just like what we're doing right now, it can be huge. And I'm excited about that.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
It's always great to get into conversations with Rob. I know he has a great heart for missions and for mission, and he has a great passion for Christ and for social justice. And I've watched him do a lot, and it was really a pleasure to have him on this podcast. And I just pray he continues with his engagement and passion for missions. And it's great to have him as a partner in missions.
That goes both ways, Collins. Thank you enough for your work and your friendship. It has made all the difference in the world.
And Rob, we're thank you for taking the time to from your busy schedule to be on the podcast to talk to us. And our prayers, our thoughts with you as you and your congregation, you know, continue to fight this battle against coronavirus. We'll be praying for you and thinking of you. And I'm just saying, if things get really bad, I can, there's room on the faculty here at the seminary. So you're welcome anytime to come here and teach missiology or, you know, I don't know how the rest of your family would feel about that, but.
Well, I appreciate that very, very much. And I'm just thankful for this time that we've had together. And I appreciate both of you very much, and look forward to our continued work together and as a global church. So if there's anything else, you know, on down the road that we can do together, please let me know.
All right. Thanks, Rob. You stay safe and stay healthy.